Good morning, everybody, and welcome to this brand new program, Daily Devotions with Pastor Trigg. Start your day off right and have victory in your life. No matter what your problems are today, it is the Word of God that is going to help you have victory in your life. Whether it's you need a financial reward, whether it's health in your body, whether it's peace in your mind, it is the Word of God that will help you succeed. I know that because that's been true in my life. In my life, I have experienced anxiety, loss, war, financial struggles. And through all of that, it's only been one thing that has held me together. More than therapy, more than medication, more than distraction, it has been the beautiful Word of God. I believe that this inspired book of God is the answer to all of our problems. Combined with prayer, which is simply just listening and talking to God. And then third, of course, the presence of the Holy Spirit. As God, through His Spirit, convicts us and He moves us and inspires us. Do you need to be inspired today? Is there something even this week in your life that you are stressed about, worried about? Maybe your family member is not well. There's something in your life that needs healing. Let's dive right in into His Word. So I invite you to come back here every day, 7 a.m. or so. I'm only on YouTube as far as comments. So, but if you are on the other platforms, thank you for being here. Just know that I won't be checking the comments. I'll only be checking them on YouTube. So if you would like to interact and ask for prayer, then please go to YouTube's type in my name, and you will then find the chat or the comments, and you can leave them there. So today I want to talk about this very, very beautiful topic of this passage in Hebrews 13, where it talks about the topic of sacrifice. And it's something that I taught about yesterday at my church. So if you're looking, by the way, for a church to come and worship, I invite you to mine here in the city of Bellflower, here in the LA area. We're a regional church. We are a city church. We are a church for everyone, no matter where you live. Come out and see us. So let's get right into this. Talking about sacrifice, here's the basic idea. God wants us to sacrifice to Him the thing that we love most, in order that we would receive the greatest reward. When you and I surrender, sacrifice to God, the thing that we long for the most, He will then give us our greatest reward. And so think about that from the beginning. What's the thing? What's the one thing? What's the one person, the situation, the concern, the thing that you can't figure out, that you're hanging on to, and is making you sick, that you need to surrender to God so that you will receive His great reward and a great victory? So let's start here, Hebrews 13. First, let me just start with saying why Hebrews was written. By the way, you see my Bible cam there right on the side, so hopefully you'll enjoy that as well. Hello. So the book of Hebrews was written. It is believed that it was to basically combat Christians that were losing their religion. Have you ever experienced something like that? When you have been a Christian for many years, or maybe you used to go to church, but now you've kind of lost your way. Well, that's what was happening to these young Christians in this time when this book of Hebrews was written. And so it's called Hebrews because it was written to Jewish Christians, to Hebrew Christians. And so even though this young church or these people had received the Word of God and had believed in Christ, they were being tempted to go back. Now, in what way? Well, they were tempted to go back to the law of Israel, to the law of the Old Testament, to the sacrificial system. They thought that Jesus on a cross and the grace of God was just too much to believe, too good to be true. Not only that, but they were also pretty upset. Why did this Messiah die? This Messiah was supposed to be our liberator. And it's a very, I think, very fair question. If you are sick and the doctor comes over and he leaves and you feel worse, what are you going to say? That doctor was no good. What's wrong with that doctor? He's supposed to make me better. He must be the wrong doctor. I'm going to get a new one. Exactly what was happening to these Christians. They thought, well, this Messiah was supposed to liberate us from this bondage of the Romans and the Greeks and this problem that we have. We're enslaved. And yet he dies on a cross and he must be the wrong Messiah. And sometimes we fall into the same trap. When you and I don't get what we want, then we say it must be the wrong God. I need to look to something else. And so this passage talks about the value of how we have to sacrifice all of that, all of those expectations. And we have to go back to the gospel and to trust, believe that in due time, God will give us the reward. So it's a very practical passage. Check this out. First, he talks about the need to surrender our time, our preferences, our schedule. So it starts with verse 1. It says, stay on good terms with each other, held together by love. You know, actually, let me change this from the Message. I'm going to change it to the NASB, which is what I have here in my, let's see here, how do I do this? I think I'm going to go up here, preferences, changes to the NASB, which is what I have here in front of me. 24, that's good. Okay. Okay, well, that didn't do anything. Let's see here. Display, switch to, here we go, NASB 95. All right, there we go. So now it's the same thing as I have here on my Bible cam. Let love of the brethren continue. Let the love of the brethren continue. Brethren, that means you and I. If you're a part of a church, if you're a follower of Jesus, you are the brethren, the brothers, part of the family of God. And so right away he says, don't stop loving each other. Okay, that's a good tip. Do not neglect to show hospitality to strangers, for by this some have entertained angels without knowing it. Remember the prisoners as though in prison with them, and those who are ill-treated, since you yourselves also are in the body. So what he's saying there is, first, sacrifice your time. Your time is what allows you to be hospitable. When you're hospitable to others, like it says, or to strangers, you are entertaining angels, possibly. How many times do you bring someone into your house, someone that you think, well, I don't know why I'm letting my son come back home. I don't know why I'm helping this person, this stranger that I don't even know. In doing that, in sacrificing your convenience, you are serving God. You are doing the will of God. You are living the gospel. You're living like Christ wants us to live. When you, on the contrary, you become selfish and you never share your house with anyone or your apartment, your time, you're very jealous about your time. It's just all about you and what you want and what you need, and you don't like to talk to people. When you become kind of a recluse or secluded, which happens all the time, then you lose out on the joy of giving to others, giving your time, giving people a ride, helping perhaps an older person to walk across the street. All those ways, all those small things are great ways to understand the love of God, to realize that Jesus is real, to ask and to thank God for how he helped you to love somebody else. God wants you to sacrifice your time. Don't be so selfish with your schedule. If you think about how much time we waste, especially in these days with social media, how much time we waste watching movies, being online, snooping around, Instagram, Facebook are probably the two greatest addictions of this time. And there are others, of course. But and I love another passage that it's, I think it's in Titus 2, Titus 3, it says to make good use of your time because the days are evil. When you think about your schedule, you may say, oh, I have so much time. Well, nobody says that. What I mean to say is people say, oh, I have so much more to live. I have 30, 50, 100 more years. I have time to be more generous. I'll be more kind when I have more time. I'll help others when I have more time. I'll go to church when I have more time. But days are short. Not only is it a matter of life and death, but who's to say that you're not going to fall away from God while you're working really hard and trying to build your own business or taking care of the kids? You may fall away from God in those 10 years. It might be too late by the time you want to come back to God. The days are evil. It's time to sacrifice your desires, your preferences, and to say, God, how can I host people at my house? How can I maybe go back to church? How can I be more generous with my time, with my finances? How can I give more to others? You know, last week we got our giving statement. Every year, if you're familiar with church or really any sort of tax type stuff and contributions or charities and all that stuff. 2 weeks ago, we got our giving statement from church. What that means is that we got a report with an amount on how much we gave to the church last year. I'm not going to tell you how much it was, but you know what? It was over 10% of what we make. Just hard dollars. Let's say we make $1,000 a month. In that statement, and I'm not telling you this because of some sort of ego. I'm just telling you the blessing of generosity. Let's say, again, we make $1,000 a month. It said on there that we gave $100 every month for 12 months. Every month, it gives you the final amount. We give most of that to the church, and then we gave other to other places where we also like to give. Why do I tell you this? Because we are blessed because of that. I am convinced that because of our generosity, we have more than we know what to do with. I sometimes feel like I'm a glutton with, let's say in my case, with technology, I have so much stuff. Yeah, we have a little bit of debt. Yeah, we could save more. But we are in a stable place financially because of the grace of God. So maybe for you, a resolution, even though it's almost February, it might be to give more. Oh, I don't have any money, Trig. I don't even have a job. I'm unemployed. I don't make a lot of money. I have so many bills. I have debt. I'm trying to get my apartment. I'm trying to buy a house. I'm saving for school. Of course, all of us are in the same boat. But what you can do is begin to put away that 10% and give it to God. Give it to the church. It's part of the blessing here. It says here, when you sacrifice your interests, your time, your treasures, as they say, your talents, and you give them to God, and obviously, if it's a church that you trust, a church that you love, a church where you get a lot from, don't give to some random place. Get to a place where you're receiving the word of God, where what's being preached on Sundays is changing your life. Then you give. That's how it works. If you're receiving $100, then give 10. That's how God works. So if you're receiving from a place, blessing and transformation, encouragement and hope, if you're receiving this much, then you give 10%. You might want to give 20%. Maybe you start with 5, but get to 10. It's a good place to be. It helps everyone. Sacrifice your time. That's the first way that you can have victory this year. Number 2 is to sacrifice your lusts, your obsessions, your desires. And I don't mean just sexual stuff, although we'll talk about that here, marriage and money. But I'm talking about anything that you that you really are passionate about. Sometimes we have to sacrifice those things in order to receive a greater blessing. So look at this, check this out. Verse 4, it says, marriage is to be held in honor among all, and the marriage bed is to be undefiled. It's an old-fashioned word that means don't have sex before marriage. Don't commit adultery. Don't sleep around. Don't be loosey-goosey with your relationships. If you're a single person, stay pure. I'm talking about being a virgin. If it's too late, then you make a decision today to be undefiled. It simply means to be clean, to be pure. It says, for fornicators and adulterers, God will judge. Make sure that your character is free from the love of money. So it talks about the two big things, sex and money. To love how God's word is so practical. This was written about 2,000 years ago. This passage talking about things that we deal with today in 2019, 2020, here soon. Make sure, it says, verse 5, that your character is free from the love of money, being content with what you have. For he himself has said, I will never desert you, nor will I ever forsake you, so that we confidently say, the Lord is my helper, I will not be afraid. What will man do to me? You know, this is very personal for me, the money part and the contentment part especially. I am one who is not very content with the things I like to measure, especially when it comes to the growth of my church, or as I used to tell Rochelle, my wife, how many Cheerio boxes are in the kitchen. So you might relate to what I'm going to say. So I am one that, because of many things, trauma and fear and I don't know, childhood stuff as usual, I'm always afraid to get fired, to have some financial disaster happen to me, to be unable to provide for my family. And I have been fired from jobs. I mean, places that I didn't want to be at. And so it was a mutual decision. It was still a shock. Other places I've loved and things have worked out great. But my lack of contentment isn't about necessarily greed. It's more about putting my security in financial health, in controlling what my finances look like, making sure that nothing changes, that things only improve. But the minute that I even think about losing something or having less, it panics me. I mean, I know this is common, but I know this is a thing for me. And the Bible's clear. It says to not let money be your God. This is not about greed for me. I know others may deal with greed. For me, it's about control. It's about safety. It's about having money be my security versus God being my security. Having money or a job be my rock versus Jesus Christ being my rock. Now, what happens when I put my trust in a job? Well, I'm going to go up and down. And this is what happens to me often, is every little thing just shakes me. Oh, are these people happy? If not, I'm going to lose my job. And it goes back to that issue of safety. And so it traumatizes my body. And so even these last few weeks, I've been dealing with a lot of stress in my stomach and just a lot of concerns over the ups and downs of church and of work and of eventually finances. Look at what it says here. It says very clearly, verse 5, make sure that your character is free from the love of money being content with what you have. For he himself, he said, I will never desert you, nor will I ever forsake you. The Lord is my helper. I will not be afraid. Afraid, what will man do to me? Isn't that powerful? Not only does he say, he doesn't just leave us at don't love money. He says, instead, hang on to God. Let go of your security or of your concern over how much you make or over all these things, and hang on to God. It says right there, because God will never desert you. guess what? Jobs will desert you. Your financial portfolio, if you have one, will go up and down. Remember 2008? I mean, talk about a disaster. Everyone, including us, losing hundreds and hundreds of thousands of dollars. Or maybe you lost your house. Maybe you are a young person and you just went through a huge trial. Maybe you're someone that's retired and you remember what your kids went through. Those things will never be stable. This world will never give you the safety that you look for. And yet, at least for me, it's like I'm traumatized. I have to have safety in numbers, like they say, right? Instead, he's saying here, your safety is in Christ. He is your rock. And then verse 6, he is your helper. Therefore, you don't have to be afraid. And then I love how he says, what will man do to me? I think that's part of Psalm 27. What will man do to me? Because here's what happens. When you're afraid of losing a job or of your finances going up and down or your check being different from month to month, when anything changes and you feel afraid, you're basically afraid of the man, afraid of your boss, afraid of those people in power. And this is what happens to me all the time. I'm afraid of people because somehow I think they hold the money in their hands. And so I'm always just checking the temperature. How are people feeling about me so that I don't lose my money? I don't lose my safety. See how that goes? A snowball effect. It just gets worse and worse. So what God's word says is sacrifice that need that you have for safety and instead replace it with putting your trust in God. Now, what does that mean, putting your trust in God when it comes to money or even when it comes to your marriage or sexuality? Both things are in here. It means that you say, God, take away that fear. Help me with my longing to be married or to sleep around or to be promiscuous or to want to help my boyfriend and that's why we're living together or because of finances. Instead, Lord, help me with my urges, with my lust, as I said, to have safety, to have more fun, to have more freedom. And instead, Lord, help me to put my trust in you and to not fear people's opinions. And that's, man, at least for me, it's a tough, tough process, but it's only accomplished when we hear God's word and we believe and we know that he is good, that he is your helper. And then the last thing is really clear, and that's about praise. It says to sacrifice praise, sacrifice what your lips talk about. Really, it says to sacrifice your whole life. So check this out here at the bottom of this passage. Let me go all the way down to see if you can see it there. Let me move here all the way up. Okay, verse 12. It says, therefore Jesus also, that he might sanctify the people through his own blood, suffered outside the gate. So he's going to talk a lot about sacrifice and blood and almost like Old Testament stuff, high priest and offerings and all this stuff. And that's and the reason why is because, as I said at the beginning, these Christians were being tempted to go back to the sacrificial ways. And it's so human. We struggle to hang on to God, to grace, to faith, put it this way. And instead, we want to go back to Google, as I always say, or to Amazon. What do I mean by that? Let's say, back to money. Let's say you're dealing with some financial problems. It's easier to go back to Google and go crazy looking for ways to make more money, and you're going to do online stuff, and you're going to go work 10 jobs, and you're going to move to another part of the country because you feel so alone, going back to marriage stuff, and your boyfriend, and you are having problems, and so you're getting in that desperate moment, you know, in that desperate place. And then your body begins to mess up, and your mind, and you get angry, you're controlling, you're taking substances, you're into drugs, you're making crazy decisions because your life is centered on this one thing that you want the most. It damages you, and you don't even realize it. And when people try to tell you that you're off your rocker, you get defensive, right? This is what happens to me. Maybe this happens to you. So that's why he says here that we need to stay with Christ. And this was happening to these people. They wanted to go back to Google. They're like, well, if this Jesus thing isn't really going to work or working, then let me go back to at least something that I can control. A goat, some blood, a sacrifice, because that seemed to work for our ancestors. So maybe that'll work for me. But the writer here, he says, no, go stay with Christ, because he is the ultimate giver of life. Not those sacrifices, not Google, not Amazon, not your friends, not your connections. Christ is the ultimate and the only source of hope in your life. So he says, verse 13, so let us go out to him outside the camp. This is a little bit confusing language, but let me just keep going. Bearing his reproach. For here we do not have a lasting city, but we are seeking the city which is to come. So there's even a little bit of heaven there talking about the heavenly city that we one day will have. It's a great verse. Basically, it's saying stop living for today. Live for tomorrow. Live for the future. Live for your eternal destiny. Let me just pause here before I read the last verse. You know, a few weeks ago, I had a young man come to me. And from what I could see, he was very intelligent and well-dressed and handsome young man, very well-spoken. And he was talking to me after church. And I thought, well, this guy, you know, has it all together. He seems to be doing well. And then he said something that was really interesting. He said, you know, I have everything going well for me, but I'm losing my soul. And he said, he even quoted a verse. He says, what good is it for a man to gain the world but lose his soul? And see, that's what this verse is talking about. It's saying, what's the point of you having all of these things here in this world and yet you lose your connection with God? What's the point of you stressing over your finances, your kids, your health? And in the meantime, you're losing your peace. You're losing your health. You're losing your worship of God. You're losing this faith that you once had. You now are just running around like a chicken without a head, just going crazy, trying to figure everything out. And it's not working, is it? Go back to Christ. That's why it says here, forget this place. Live for the eternal city. But anyway, and then verse 15 is the great verse. It's through him, then, let us continually offer up a sacrifice of praise. There it is. To God. That is the fruit of lips that give thanks to his name. At the end of the day, what he says is sacrifice your mouth, your thoughts, your life. Romans 12:1 says that we are a living sacrifice, that all of us, all of your body, your mind, your soul, everything that you do is supposed to be a sacrifice to God. It's not just money. It's not just your marriage. It's not just your time. Because there are people that might say, oh yeah, I got all those. I'm good with all that. I give to my church. I volunteer on Wednesday nights. I read my Bible. I open my house every week to strangers. I'm good. Well, he says, what about all of you? Is your whole life worship? Are you worshiping with your whole life? With everything, even the things that aren't in this passage. I don't know what those things are. You know, this has been a very tough week, as I said, really a tough 12 months, 13 months, since this January of 2018 till January of 2019. I've been, let's just say, eating for breakfast stress, anxiety, conflict, fear, you name it. I mean, to the point that even at the end of the year, I had my office and my whole church broken into. I know some of you know this. I had, and I'm not reliving it, I've forgiven it, but I just want to tell you what a year it was. I had my beautiful computer, 27-inch iMac. It was, a year old? Stolen. I had a microphone. You know, some of these microphones that I use, stolen. Even with the stand. I had a piano, a beautiful, gorgeous piano. Anyway, the year ended worse than it started. And so in January, it just all hit me. All of the fear and the anxiety and all of the financial stuff. I mean, Satan is smart, right? He attacks you where you are most vulnerable. But that is where you have to say, Lord, I trust in you, God. And so I wonder how your year ended. Did 2018 end on a high and then now it's low? Did it end bad and then it's gotten worse or maybe a little better? Regardless of how you're doing, let your life focus on God. Focus your whole life on Jesus. Today is the day to start living for Christ. To start saying to God, Lord, I need you more than all these things, more than my money and my job and my kids to be happy. Lord, I need you because it's not working for me to hang on to myself and hang on to my kids and hang on to my dreams and my hopes. It's not working. I've taken all these courses and I've talked to all these people and I've tried all these things and some things happened and went great, but some things didn't. Lord, I need you. Choose today to put your faith back in Jesus. And if you are someone who knows who God is, choose this day to let your life be a sacrifice of praise. What that means is that your whole life is giving God worth. What that means is that your whole life, your lips, what you talk about, what you think about, what you do, where you go, what you see, it all is focused on Christ. It's not focused on these things and your problems or who you can't forgive or who hurt you or your brother-in-law did this or your friend did that. That's what all of us do. Instead, focus on Jesus. Focus on his forgiveness. Focus on his strength. Focus on the fact that he is your helper. Let your whole life, he says here, be a song and dance, if you want to put it that way. Let your whole life be a praise to God. Let your whole life be a sacrifice of praise, the fruit of the lips, it says. And it says here that give thanks to his name. You know, when you're worried about all the bad things, you're not going to think of all the good things. I'm one of those that if I have 50 people tell me great things and one that just goes off, I'm going to focus on the one for months, years maybe. You know what I'm working on? Here's some tips. Maybe if you can relate to what I'm saying. If you're someone who tends to focus on people's opinions, you're a people pleaser, maybe more than that, you're afraid of, again, losing something. I'm practicing Matthew 5. Forgive them, Matthew 6, 5 and 6. Forgive them not, for they do not. Forgive them, for they do not know what they do. Maybe you have to practice forgiveness with your brother-in-law or with your mother-in-law who just drives you nuts. Oh, I know, you're tired, they're horrible, you're right, they're wrong, I get it. They've wronged you, you've forgiven them a million times. You know what the Bible says, keep on forgiving. Forgive until you're free from it. See, that's why Jesus said 7 times 7. It's because he's saying forgive until that bondage is gone. What's the point of forgiving if you're still hanging on to it? Keep on forgiving until that's broken, that curse, that bondage, those chains are broken. And so that's the first tip, is forgive. Number two is to give. Give generously. Give to your church. Give to others. Share with others of your time and talents. I know you're busy. I know you work hard. I know you're exhausted. If you're a young person, you have 80 things, 1,000 things on your plate. Ask God for strength. Give generously your time, your talents, as I've said, your treasures. And then a third tip is to make sure that you make Jesus your obsession. Stop worrying about money and sex and power and materialism and how you look on camera. And you know, I speak always from experience. I used to think so much about, how am I looking? You know, I'm going to be 50. Do I look 30? No, I look 50. I don't have to hear people tell me that I look young. I used to be obsessed with youth. Now I am who I am, trying to just simply eat better, work out. And sometimes, you know, I buy myself some nice clothes, but I'm content, as the Bible says. I'm content with who I am. Now I'm working on being content with my success, whatever that means. Whatever that means to you, what are you needing to be content about? And I know contentment, at least if you're an achiever, Enneagram 3, or you're one of those type A's like I am, if you are one of those, contentment is like a bad word. It's like a curse word, right? Can you say, man, where's my Gosa bell right here? Here's my Gosa bell, right? And I also got my Gosa mug. I almost forgot. It's missing the ear, but I got my Gosa mug here. I think you see it back there somewhere, perhaps. I also have my... forgot to do that at the beginning of the show. But anyway, contentment isn't a bad word for achievers. It's actually a great word. If you're someone who's always stressing over having more, for me, it's my church. Oh, I want more people. Jesus keeps saying, be content, be patient. Let me be your wealth, your success. Exchange, sacrifice your idea of success for my idea of success, which is me in you, the hope of glory. What is the thing that you are hanging on to? What's the thing that you can let go of? That person that you can't seem to forgive? That certain amount per month that you can't seem to let go of? That situation at home with your family that you can't let go of. What's the thing that you need to surrender, sacrifice to Jesus? Let it go. Not just into the atmosphere, into the universe. No, no, no. We're not talking here about law of attraction or about New Age or about Buddhism or Taoism. We're talking about belief in a God of hope through His Son, Jesus. The Savior of the world who takes away the sin of the world, who gives you peace, who gives you strength, who is the rock on which you stand. What's the one area? Leave me a comment below. Let me know. I want to pray. Lord God, I pray in Jesus' name, first for myself, that you help me, Lord, to put my hope in you in the area of success, in the area of fear, of financial ruin. Lord, help me to trust in you. God, I pray for anyone out there who's dealing with a crisis in their marriage or in their job, or maybe there's a hope and a dream that they have that hasn't yet come to pass. May you give them the desires of their heart. May you bless them. May you give them a reward as they sacrifice their very best. They sacrifice all to you. In Jesus' name, amen. If you need prayer, please let me know. If you also need to know more about who Jesus is, let me know. Thank you so much. Please come back here every morning, about 7:30 or so Pacific, for daily devotions with Petrig. And subscribe, like, comment, hit that bell on YouTube. Remember, again, I'm not anywhere except at YouTube. If you're seeing this somewhere else, it's just being restreamed. But I'm only on YouTube just to kind of, again, to focus my attention on just one thing. Thanks so much for being here, and I will see you next time. See you tomorrow.
Thank you for listening to The David Trigg Show. Find the complete archive at davidtrigg.com or subscribe for free through the podcast app on iTunes or Stitcher on Android.
Each week, we bring you a message of joy, success, and personal power in spite of fear, anxiety, and depression. Because as we like to say, though there's pain in the night, gozo comes in the morning.